Off the Rails from the U.S. Faster Payments Council.
Tannen, Executive Director of the U.S. Faster Payments Council, and this is Off the Rails from the U.S. Faster Payments Council, sponsored by Open Payment Network. This time, we'll be sitting down with Kalpa Gupta, CEO of Connext Group. Kalpa and I talk about the human side of fraud and scams, fraud mitigation tactics, and the lost art of conversation, but first, the headlines. The FTC Spring Member Meeting will be at Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Hotel Resort in Orlando, Florida, March 27th and 28th. Registration is open at fasterpaymentscouncil.org. And while the conference hotel has sold out, there are many nearby hotels that still have availability. Check the most recent FTC newsletter for hotel suggestions. In addition to all the content and on-site networking opportunities throughout the event, we're also hosting a fun evening event at Epcot Theme Park, co-sponsored by Identify. So head over to fasterpaymentscouncil.org to register. And a big thank you to all of our Spring Member Meeting event sponsors: ACI Worldwide, Aloya Corporate Federal Credit Union, BNY Mellon, Finsley, Form 3, Identify, Jack Henry, MyTech Systems, Niche, North American Banking Company, Pacific Coast Bankers Bank, Shazam, The Clearinghouse, Trustly, and Verafin. And if you'd like to add your name to that list of sponsors and make that job of saying them all even harder for me, please reach out. There are tons of sponsorship opportunities still available. FPC members, you should have already gotten renewal notices several times by now, and we are so excited to continue working with you to advance the FPC's mission of safe, easy-to-use, ubiquitous, faster payments. If you're listening and you aren't a member, now is a great time to join. 2024 is going to be a huge year in faster payments, and the FPC is the center of that action. Head to fasterpaymentscouncil.org to apply for membership. Membership includes access to members-only content, unlimited access to workgroup activities, members-only webinars, the ability to run for our board and vote for board members, and unlimited attendance at our twice-annual in-person member meetings. Also, there are more new resources for you to use on the FPC website. Developed jointly by the FPC Financial Inclusion and Cross-Border Payments Workgroups, a new bulletin addresses critical issues surrounding financial inclusion and cross-border payments. The report provides a comprehensive analysis of the current landscape of cross-border remittances and bill payments, highlighting the challenges faced by underserved communities. It explores the state of global financial inclusion, identifying persistent hurdles despite significant progress over the past decade. Also, we have our real-time payment application program interface APIs infographic. This infographic provides a summary of the recent report, Real-Time Payment APIs, developed by the FPC Secure and Instant and Immediate APIs Workgroup and sponsored by Trustly. Okay, that's enough of the headlines. Let's get to that conversation with Kalpa. All right, we are joined by Kalpa Gupta of Connext. Kalpa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Reed. Thanks for having me here.
All right, let's jump in. First off, why don't you give some background on your history in the payment space and what you're up to now? Because I think what's going to become clear pretty quickly for our audience is, you know, I think you're coming from a different perspective than a lot of our past guests. So I think it'd be interesting to kind of start there.
Sure. So my career has been about money and mental health, if you will. I started in the industry in nearly two decades ago, starting with GE Commercial Finance in the analytics. Then most of my career, I spent nearly a decade at American Express. Key roles were in fraud risk management and then also in product development for consumer and small business facing card acquisitions processes, experiences. And then most recently, before I started my company, I led the product development for Zelle, which is now like a household name, if you will, and seen tremendous growth. So I've been fortunate to see, to be on both sides, you know, revenue generating functions as well as the operations from a mitigating loss perspective. So, and then my life took a pivot in my late 30s when I was I realized I was carrying a lot of my trauma, and that was impacting me personally and professionally. So I quit corporate, worked a lot last 5, 6 years, have been almost like reinventing my life, if you will. And now in my company, I launched the company with the intention to help women and people who have experienced childhood sexual abuse in their career and in their businesses. So I'm a coach, I'm a speaker. I also do consulting advisory things on the side for, companies, payments, companies that actually provide solutions to financial services. But my passion lies in helping people, heal in their own life. And that's what brings me here, because I almost treated fraud like this thing that happens when I go and do the job, right? And you'll be amazed in recent years how many of the people that I closely know that have actually experienced fraud and or cybersecurity attack, and we don't talk about it, right? So one of my conversations recently, a therapist shared that, hey, they experienced fraud. One of my clients experienced fraud. So, as a business owner, this is very top of my mind, particularly when we talk about mental health and 1 in 2 Americans are lonely. Hello, like if you're not able to talk about these things that happen in our life, despite being so savvy about, payments and fraud, like then what are we doing, right? So that's what brings me here.
Yeah, and I think that loneliness piece of it is part of what feeds into some of the fraud, right? And it's actually kind of well timed. I'm not sure if you saw it, but the most recent episode of a show called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which is kind of a fun dive into different horrible things usually in the world on HBO Max, was actually about a particular scam known as pig butchering. So maybe that'll help bring some of this stuff to light for more of a pop culture perspective and help people kind of be aware that this is out there, something that they need to be worried about, but also something they should have with empathy towards people in their lives who are victims. One thing that came up, briefly in the show is the fact that fraud incidences are underreported because there is that stigma associated with falling victim to these scams. So what does all that do to a person?
So I think there is underreporting both from, the financials, the company side, because unless you're sure, like you're catching the fraud, and I refuse to believe that we catch all the fraud. It takes time, right? So and then on the other side, and then even when we catch all the fraud, there is you don't share everything, because there's part of the worry that, hey, if we share everything, then the fraudsters are going to know everything, the MO, right? So there's sensitivity on that. And on the consumer and small business side, there's a brand issue and there's a trust issue, and that is on everyone. Like you feel like stupid if that happens. Like this person to which this cybersecurity thing happened, like in my life, they are amazing. They have served the nation. They're just an amazing, person. And this happens. And imagine the life of a person who's already struggling with other kinds of mental health. Like our veterans lead a very lonely life, and something like this happens. Yeah, and the person you're like wondering, like that thought of like how could that happen to me, right? So that's the first layer of stigma. The second layer is when you overcome that. Let's say you know that, oh, this could happen because it's so rampant these days. You have to navigate so much. Like sometimes people don't know who to tell. Like when you're calling your bank or, calling your service providers, there is lack of trust because they don't know on the other side, right? That if they're talking to a victim or an imposter. So now you figure out like get either like make in-person visits or, get additional proof. And then if your identity has been compromised, it's not designed from the person, perspective. There are so many players in the ecosystem. So I think the lack of collaboration across industry, across both, not just the industry, also across, like with government and all these bodies, we do, but it's not very clear to the consumer, average consumer, right? So it can be very isolating in that case.
Right. And thinking about this from that mental health or maybe even human empathy perspective, which I think, we like you said, we spent earlier and you mentioned like we spend so much time thinking about the numbers and the fraud is just like another number and that as long as it's not so much that you can't afford it, as a participant bank participant or financial services participant, then you sort of don't think about that human side of it. But what are some of the steps that industry participants should take to help prevent these scams from succeeding in the first place?
Absolutely. So there's the capability side of things, right? And fortunately or unfortunately, you know, like when the growth happens, sometimes we become lax, right? And there's underinvestment on capabilities that can actually help prevent identity theft or fraud and scam. And then when the going gets tough, then we are also curtailing costs. So sometimes then, you know, we so the it, I guess the investment in many different companies, depending on their risk appetite, like follows that trend. And that's number one. So what we could do is also just think fraud from not just from a perspective of like a cost center, but it's like, and I don't believe anybody is intentionally underinvesting, but it's just the reality of I'm a business owner. You know, you've got priorities, so many things to invest on. What do I choose, right? So often it's revenue generating things that take, you know, or profit making, right? Things take priority, and sometimes you're not investing. So from an beyond the investment on capabilities, because there's so much like AI going on. I mean, we are still talking about faster payments, right? But there is Gen AI. There are fraudsters, there are criminal enterprises that are investing so much. They are always ahead, you know. So how do we leverage this technology to identify trends that are out of pattern for that customer, right? And both from a opening new application perspective, as well as when the fraud happens, like how do I know that I'm actually talking? There's another person in the end of the on the other side. It could be my brother. It could be my, you know, or elderly parent. It could be another, you know, my partner, my wife, my husband, or my young adult child, right? How would I want them treated, right? I think if we put on that hat in all the decision making that we do, I think that would be a good start, in my opinion. And then the other part I would say is sometimes we put this, the second thing is we put the liability on the customer. Consumer education is great, but it can't be just solved by consumer education, right? We've got to work hand in hand. So looking at the fraud trends, whether it's the elderly who are falling victim, or whether it's, you know, the teenagers, like, who are now like falling, you know, prey, like social media wise, their identity might be compromised with all the synthetic identity. You know, I'm talking a little bit future here. You know, like what are we doing? Where there are all these synthetic identities that are floating around, like what are we doing to educate parents? What are we doing to educate teens in colleges, you know, schools or colleges, right? So I think there's a lot that we as an industry can do just when we put on those roles that we play in our life in making that decision.
Yeah, you got into what I was going to ask next a little bit there, but I think we can flesh it out a bit, 'cause I think the thing that often gets lost is like who like demographically tend to fall, end up being victims of these scams. And that, you know, it seems to me that it tends to be a lot more vulnerable populations, people who can maybe least afford to have the losses, and then also what the money is being used for, which can be which I think can really sort of provide a motivation for a lot of people to sort of say, I don't want to be part of that.
Sure. So from a groups, I think fraud happens across, you know, life cycle, right? So I wish like there was just this age, but people that may be more prone to like elderly, right? Like, you know, or who like maybe there's memory loss, different kind of reasons. There's a caregiver, and these are happening, you know, in their assisted living facilities, or they are living alone and somebody else is, you know, like managing their finances, and that gets very tricky, which is the second type, which is the familial kind of fraud, right? Where somebody who close to you takes advantage. Like, so you've authorized the funds, but what do you do? So how do we, you know, deal with, and that is indeed a little challenging, you know. So education needs to happen, I would say, in those cases too. And then the third one is mental health. If you are at risk of mental health, right? Like you have any mental health issues, like you are more likely to fall victim to, you know, to these scams. So anything we can do to, you know, we may not be able to identify, but can we partner with some of these, you know, institutions, right, that are actually serving people? Center of influences, could it be therapists? Could it be some mental health like associations where people go, or could it be like doctors, you know, educating, keeping them so that they are also aware, from an awareness perspective. And then The second part that you mentioned in terms of like, we only talk about the funding, like, the fraud and the number in those terms, but what happens with the money, right? So I shared with you about childhood sexual abuse, which I'm a survivor, but then there is a whole spectrum of when criminal enterprises are involved, right? So for example, pedophilia, or there are pedophiles who are like, and which may be a small percentage in terms of the cases, but they are large dollar enterprises, and they are like, they can happen like with systemically. So what can we do in terms of money laundering, prevention, identifying, and we've seen a lot of these high profile cases come to light, right? So that's in those areas, I think there needs to be more work done from a human trafficking from those perspective. And then the lastly, I mean, I could go in on, I don't want to paint a dark picture here, right? Like, I want to
Well,
say life is
it
still
is a dark
good.
picture.
This is a dark picture, but I think part of the reason why we need to talk about it is like sometimes you don't see the full picture unless you have collaboration across industries, right? Across players, across like globally. And sometimes these enterprises are running globally, from different parts. So they exploit the lack of collaboration, among players, among countries, among, different players in the ecosystem. So fraud needs to, we need to reinvent fraud in terms of keeping in mind, well, how can I think in terms of that people first versus like just profit first, like, and use that, to really solve this problem.
Right. Well, that's good stuff there. Are you I know like you said it's a very serious topic and I know it can feel a little bit weighty, but I think it's important for us to have these conversations. So I'm glad you're here to do that. That said, we do have a game to play, maybe lighten the mood a bit.
Yep.
Called buy or sell. So as everybody probably knows by now, I'll put out some propositions. You're gonna either agree and buy or disagree and sell, and then tell everybody why. So first off, particularly given the risks associated with the types of scams we've been discussing, receive only is a fine place for financial institutions to start when it comes to instant payments. But really, ultimately, we need everyone to implement send eventually.
So I am saying bye because of the second half of the sentence, which is God, like as a consumer, if you tell me, oh, you can just get this, but you can't send something, like it's just a horrible customer experience and education, like just as a business owner, as a consumer, as a person, right? So bye for that reason.
I tend to agree. Consumer education alone, I think we know what you're going to say this one. Consumer education alone is going to be enough to combat faster payment scams.
Oh, sell and run away. That's a
Yeah.
good starting place, but
I think
not enough.
you already explained the why on that one.
Yeah.
Unwinding with a good book after a long week in the office, buy or sell.
Oh, bye, bye. I mean, I don't, my bookshelf is outside, but I'm an avid reader.
Yeah, that's there's lots of good information in books, it turns out. Okay, there is fraud occurring through RTP. There's more fraud occurring through RTP and Fed now than we think. Buy or sell.
I would sell this. I don't believe there's more fraud occurring. I mean, there's fraud happening like all over. I don't believe they are particularly, anything like any more fraud happening there,
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think probably to the point you made before, it's probably a little bit underreported. There are probably people who are falling victim to it who aren't telling their financial institution about it. So maybe more than probably not more than other payment types, but maybe more than we are aware of. Okay, RTP will process 500 million transactions in 2024, buy or sell.
This is a sell, and I cheated on this one a little bit. I heard Lee's exact numbers in the last podcast ago. And sell also, like, it's a hard sell. If they are somewhere around $250 million transactions for last year, like, it takes quite, would take quite a bit of effort to double it. I'm optimistic, but not that much.
I know. I gotta probably stop asking that one now that Lee's kind of giving it up from the inside. Ensuring all users can trust instant payments is fundamental to the adoption and usage of the new payment type.
Absolutely, absolutely. Trust goes without saying. Yeah.
All right. And final buy or sell, there is a need for a central rulemaking body to help establish industry norms for faster payments fraud prevention and loss allocation.
I'm going to be not popular on this one, Reed. This is going to be a buy for me. And the reason being, yes, I mean, we are making such great progress collaborating, bringing people together. But if you don't have a central kind of rule, then you don't know which rules to follow eventually. And then you get to a point as the industry matures, like chaos happens. So I would push for a central rule, unless we want to rely on globally what's being done in EU or outside to lead the way.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think this is something that I'm glad we have folks at the FPC engaged on. We have a great fraud work group looking at this stuff and having those conversations. And it seems to me that if nothing else, the people who are genuinely engaging are looking for the right answers. So that's a good sign, I think.
And also, it's not so much like a new central rulemaking body. It's any central rulemaking body, even existing ones, right?
Sure,
Some
of course.
central, guidance.
Right. Okay. Good job on buy or sell. You've won the game. Let's move
Yoo-hoo!
on to our lightning round. First one, the biggest advance we will see in faster payments fraud prevention in 2024.
I would say accelerate is use of Gen AI for fraud prevention and reducing operational costs. That I would hope that's what's going to take place, given everything that's happening on the tech side.
The fraudsters are using generative AI to commit the frauds. We might as well use it to try to stop
Exactly.
them. Biggest impediment to progress with instant payments.
I think it's a little bit of two things. One is like industry collaboration, lack of that collaboration, if you will, to make it seamless. I think 10 seconds over.
Ah, you're my favorite activity with your kid.
Conversations. I feel it's a lost art.
That's for sure. Good resource for helping consumers who fell victim to a scam.
I think FTC maintains a hotline, as well as there's a website, FTC's website, which says what to do if you were scammed. So good place to start.
All right. Good first step for companies interested in developing an instant payment strategy.
Hello, if you haven't yet, start thinking about and talking to people.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. Something coming soon in payments that people should be excited about.
I think look, its capabilities already there, like FedNow, RTP. I mean, from a settlement perspective, I think people should be excited that there are both, public and a private like utility there, and actually start using it for solving problems, solutions.
And finally, something you would like to use faster payments to do in your personal life.
Oh. I would love to use faster payments on making payments while I'm at watching my son's game. Like, it should be so simple. I don't have to worry about login. Oh, you're not on your device. Give OTP. So a seamless way to integrate in my life, rather than clunky experience that we have today.
Tell me about it. As a parent, in like every single thing you have to pay for your kids is some different portal, in including through the school, where if it's lunch, you go here. If it's a field trip, you go here. It's, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah,
Tell me about
right.
it.
And then everybody accepts different payments. So, God.
Right on. All right, Calpo, this has been great. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we go?
I think we've covered, Reed. Thanks for this opportunity. I mean, I would simply highlight that, look, things happen. We all do stupid things sometimes, and not even stupid, fraudsters sometimes get the better of it. But, if you are scammed or somebody's scammed, please reach out, and please reach out. You're not alone.
Right on. Good words. Good words. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been good.
Thank you, Reid.
And that will do it for this episode. Thank you to Calpa for joining us. And don't forget to register for the Spring Member Meeting at fasterpaymentscouncil.org. Talk to you all in a couple weeks.